Forget about it. It doesn't matter. It's doesn't make a difference if we lost 1-0 or lost the way we did. It's 2-2, and you know, we got better than that. I got better than that. We all got better than that, and we'll get back at it in St. Louis.
Actually, that's Devin Dubnyk. Actually, Devin, it does matter. You gave up 6 goals, and that's alarming. And we're going to find out how alarming Minnesota people should be. Our guest, Jack Jablonski, our hockey maven / expert, will tell us, is it alarming or just a game? It happens. I don't know if it's one of those ad happens. What do you think, Jack?
You know, I have to disagree. I think it just does happen. The Wild came in a little slow and on their heels to start the game. And every player, especially goalies, they all have a bad game, and it just happened to be in the playoffs in game 4. So there's no doubt that things are going to have to change when it comes to mindset, and hopefully they'll put this one past them and get back the way they were playing for game 5.
Well, Jack, who do you put it more on? Do you put it on Dubnyk, or do you put it on the other players who didn't really give him the kind of protection they should have?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. You know, you look at the first 7 minutes where we were down 2-0, first of all, Mike Yeo should have called a timeout after that second goal. You know, you've got 53 minutes left in the game, and the guys are on their heels and just, you know, no energy at all. Dubnyk lets in no soft goals for those first 2. You know, he didn't have a lot of help on both of those. But then you look at the team after that, and the energy was down, and that third goal was something he probably should have stopped. And right there is where you look at it and you just go, you know, tonight's not our night, and we got to just play damage control.
Well, now, if you were Yo, would you make any changes? Certainly not. He's not going to change Dubnyk. But would you make any changes in the lineup? We talked earlier, Sam Ekstrom from 105theticket.com and the Sunday wake-up call, he had said maybe get Erik Haulin there to get some more speed. But the speed has been praised up until now.
Yeah, no, I agree with him. I was going to say, you have to get Haulin in there. Last year, Haulin broke out in the playoffs. His speed has been a factor all year. He's played 60 games in the season, and all of a sudden we're going to just healthy scratch for the playoffs. You know, it doesn't add up, and I know that Hall has been on Yo's bucket, not bucket list, but, you know.
His poop list.
Yes, thank you.
His manure list. So how many can we go through here, Jack? His turd list.
Doghouse. Yeah,
his doghouse. Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. And so it's been a little concerning when you see that, and you've got Bergenheim in the lineup who hasn't done a whole lot. I like Fontaine in there. Brodziak has done well with the penalty kill. So I think there's one guy right there that you've got to put in the lineup. Get some speed, get some energy. Last game we lost 6-1, there was no energy, no speed. No one had to jump to their step, and that started from puck drop. You know, St. Louis was all over us for that first period, and it costed us.
Talking to Jack Jablonski, you know what it could have been too, though, Jack, because, all right, they won the first game. Second game they didn't. He switched, took out Bergenheim and Fontaine, put them back. Game 3 went wonderfully. It could be he just didn't want to mess with it. Well, now he does have to mess with it.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, you're always going to have a bad game here and there, and Dubnyk obviously struggled and let in a few soft goals. Yeah, he probably should have been pulled after that fourth goal early in the second period. But, you know, he's stuck with them, and that obviously proved to be a mistake. That being said, you know, you're obviously going to stick with Dubnyk. He's the reason we're in the playoffs. There's no question about that. It's just certain little, you know, moves here and there in the lineup. I wouldn't necessarily say changing up a lineup is the best move, but the strategy is definitely something that they've got to critique over the next day and into tomorrow.
Well, our boy Hellboy here made a hell of an observation. Tell him what you saw on Dubnyk on that one goal where it just went under him.
Well, the one where it went under him, he just kind of, it didn't seem like he was aware that it was right between his pads. All he had to do was sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Backes was, tenacious and ended up getting his stick on it and putting it right through.
See, I'm wondering if part of what happened with Dubnyk last night, maybe he is sore or maybe he's tired. And if he's either one of those or both, that doesn't bode well.
It doesn't. And, you know, that's where the Wild knew what they were getting into when they played him 37 straight times. You know, that being said, there was obviously communication between Dubnyk and the coaching staff on if he needed a break and when he needed the break. So, you know, you have to hope that the fatigue factor isn't a part of it. But, I think you have to look at the Wild's roster and the energy that they came out with yesterday, which was the biggest fault because, you know, Dubnyk was put into situations where he didn't have a chance. Those first two goals weren't his fault.
No, and
the one when it fell under him and then Backus put it in the net, you have to put that on him because he had the puck and he obviously faltered there by, you know, moving around and letting that one jar loose in the back. But the biggest thing is you've got to look at those first 10 minutes of game five and see if we can at least put the pressure on, not necessarily even score a goal, but put the pressure on like St. Louis did to us in game four.
Well, you know, in a context, when they were playing, they felt, and I don't disagree at the time, I just kept saying play them. It made sense because they needed to get into the postseason. But also, you can't go to him and say, Devin, do you need a night off? No player, particularly one who has been waiting for the opportunity given to him by the Wild, is ever going to say, I need a night off, even if he desperately does, because he doesn't want to give up that time between the nets, because he's been through it before. He doesn't know. He might have been wondering, well, what happens if the other guy does good and I may not get it back? So I don't blame him so much, and it was a gamble they took, and it got them into the postseason. And for their sake, I hope that they're not going to start paying the price. And again, as you said, one game, but this is the most goals they've given up since the game before they acquired him when they lost, gave up seven goals to Pittsburgh.
No, you're totally right, and that's it's the concern of the fatigue factor. And like I said, it's one that we've just got to put behind us and forget about it because. It's, you know, it's one bad game. You know, there's, you know, you have to look at it. St. Louis didn't score a goal and got 17 shots off in game three. So it's one thing that everyone has a bad day, and whether game three was for St. Louis and game four was for Minnesota, they got to look by it and just kind of regroup. And these guys in the locker room have been there and done that before. You got Parise, who's been to the Stanley Cup Finals. Suter's made a deep run in the playoffs and multiple other guys on the team, so they know what to do, and it's just a matter of recuperating and getting back the momentum that they have from game one and three.
Now, Jack, I got to ask you, Wild's been around for most of your life, if not all your life, since you could recognize hockey. Did you watch it with friends last night, or did you watch it alone?
I was alone last night, and unfortunately, it was probably smart that I was because I wasn't too happy.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. How much screaming did you do at the TV? And did you want to go over there and just, you know, slam something into it?
I was pretty quiet just because I was so rattled, I guess you could say. It was just one of those things where I couldn't really believe that it was 6-1 on the playoffs.
Yeah, I could imagine because I know that how much you followed the Wild and you got friends on that team. It must have, you and other Wild fans must have just driven you nuts.
Yeah, I feel bad for the people that were at the rink. You know, you go to a playoff game and pay, you know, $100-something for a ticket, and 5 minutes into the game you're down 2-0. So, game six will be a lot better for the Wild, and I know the crowd will be anxious to see some good hockey, but game five is more important right now, and hopefully they can come back and try to clinch at home.
Well, and last night they were showing some kids in the stands. You know, I understand you want to bring your kids to see the games, but it's an 8:30 start. Your kids aren't going to get home until after midnight. If it was overtime, it could have been 1:00. And so they had this one kid laying on the other one because he was so tired and still a second period. Although, I guess I'd feel like that in the way they were playing. It wore everyone out to see what had happened to this team. But Sunday's game, if it's a night game, I think that, you know, it certainly will be a well-lubed fan base here for the team. They'll be all excited. Whether or not it's not going to translate, you know, necessarily, it's not going to help them out there. But the fans here will be excited. And I think when they come back, they're going to be very excited, too,
no
matter what happens.
No question. With that being said, you know, you look at Minnesota, and we know our hockey, and you know, it's a very, very, you know, true fan base. You know, there's no bandwagon like it is out here. But, you know, people love the Wild, and they're diehard fans, and it's the state of hockey, so... There's no question that they're going to be anxious and ready to see the Wild again. You know, they obviously left the ice with Stoos yesterday, and that's something that's, you know, that's hard to swallow as a player. And that being said, you've got to look at it as if they're ready to come back and get back on the right track. So there's a lot of anxious hockey player or hockey fans in Minnesota waiting to see that game on Sunday, but. Like I said, game five is more important right now.
Now, speaking of the state of hockey, when is school done for you? Is it within the next month?
I'm back in May 13th.
Oh, my God. So like 2.5 weeks, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. My last actual classes are next week. I'm done after that, and then I have, like, final projects and stuff that are due in the early part of May. But next week is my last week of class.
Well, you know what? When you get back, obviously you want to get yourself settled, see your friends and your family. Let us know when you could. I want you to come in and co-host the whole show with us.
Yeah, no question.
That'd be fun.
I'd love to. I'm anxious to get back and get back in the studio with you. And it's been weird not being in the studio, but I do like it out here more because I'm sitting outside talking on the radio.
You know, why don't you just stop rubbing our faces in it? Because I know it's 80 degrees and the sun's always shining out there. You're outside now, aren't you?
I am, but
in your little area it's cloudy out. Well, that's only saving you from having to put on the zinc oxide on your nose and worrying about peeling. Have you peeled yet, Jack?
I got like second degree burns on my nose a few weeks ago, but I'm okay right now. So don't worry. I know you're concerned.
Well, and I am concerned because since you got there, what have I told you? Zinc oxide. Like you're down at the beach. A lot of sunscreen. You got to protect it because that California sun can wreak havoc on the skin.
Yeah, Jack. It's different than Minnesota, that's for sure. And I've been charred a few times, but don't worry, guys. I'm looking dark as ever.
All right. Well, we look forward to when you get back, and Jack will talk to you. Well, we'll talk to you next week. I'm glad you were able to make some time for us today. No school today, or did you get done early?
No class Tuesday, Thursday, so I'm around.
Life, you only go to school 3 days a week.
Well, yeah, actually pretty much two, because I only have an hour of class on Friday.
Oh, my God, Jack, you have got it made. And
I know.
And your parents think you're working hard out there. Your mom sent me a text the other day. He does go to class. Well,
once
a week, maybe twice.
It's a good schedule. I like it.
I say.
So hopefully I'm not going to fail any classes.
I doubt that'll happen. Because you're an A student.
We'll say that.
Let's go with that. That sounds good. All right, Jack, thanks so much. Jack Zablonski, our guy, our hockey guy. He'll be back in town in a few weeks joining us again. We'll talk to him on Tuesday as we always do. But you know what, Jack? We may have to go Tuesday, Thursday, depending on, how the schedule goes for them. Because they don't play. They play Sunday. What's their schedule left now? They got
Tuesday, Thursday, I guess.
No, it's not Thursday. It's an extra day in there for Game 7.
Oh, Friday, so they make okay.
All right, it's a Wednesday night game for Game 7.
Wednesday night game.
Yeah.
Sunday. Right. Wait a minute.
They have Monday, Tuesday off, and then Game 7 is Wednesday.
That'd be 6.
Notice Friday is Game 5.
Sunday's Game 6.
Yep, that's what it is, Wednesday. Jack, we're going to talk a lot next week. We'll see you later.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right. And now, this is huge. 651-989-9105 is the number. You want to dial that number because we have a four-pack of single-day passes to the 2015 Wizard World Comic-Con at the Minneapolis Convention Center, May 1, 1st through 3rd. These were huge tickets when we offered them yesterday. We're going to have a little contest. Easy. Simplest contest you've ever had. We'll tell you when we get back, but four-pack of single-day passes to the Wizard World Comic-Con at the Convention Center. 651-989-9105 is the number. Start dialing. We'll be right back with the contest. Good choice for this. Our little contest to give away a four-pack of single-day passes to the 2015 Wizard World Comic-Con at the Minneapolis Convention Center, May 1st through 3rd. We've got four contestants on the line. We're going to go first to Don. Don, how are you?
Hello.
How are you, Don? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, good. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a little spelling bee. You're going to have to spell the name. I'm going to give you an easy one. We're going to go with a Wild player. You like hockey, right? You're a Wild fan? Well, we're going to start easy in round one. Let's spell the name of Zach Parise. How do you spell Parise?
P-A-R.
Come on, Don.
A-I-S-E.
Okay, spell it again because I'm confused in there.
P-A-R-I-S-E.
All right, Don. Good. Good job. Whew. All right, now we go to Steve from Minneapolis on line two. Steve, how are you? Steve? Let's go to line three. Maybe Steve had to go to the toilet. Jeremy from East Bethel. Jeremy, how are you?
Not too bad.
All right, you heard what we're doing? You got to spell a little spelling bee of Wild players for now. We'll make it tougher a little later. Maybe go to some Blues players if we have to. Ryan Suter. How do you spell Suter?
S-U-T-E-R.
Oh, you're good, Jeremy. You're good. All right, hold on. We'll be back to you. Let's go to Jake in Newport. Jake, are you ready?
I'm here, Bob.
All right. Thomas Vanek. How do you spell Vanek?
V-A-N-E-K.
Good job. You're going to round two. Let's see. Is Steve back there? Steve, are you there this time? Steve. We're not... Steve doesn't want to play. Let's go back to Don from Plymouth. Don, all right, you did good in the first round. You ready for another one?
Yep.
Charlie Coyle.
C-O-Y-L-E.
Don, you're getting cocky. Good job. You go to round three. Jeremy from East Bethel. Jeremy, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Going to give you an easy one here. How about Chris Stewart? Spell Stewart. That's an easy one.
S-T-E-W-A-R-T.
Very nice. Won't be so easy next time. Jake from Newport. Jake, are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Let's go with Mikko Koivu. And you know what? I'm going to give you your choice. Mikko or Koivu?
Mikko or Koivu. K-O-I-V-U.
Good. Now spell Mikko for bonus points. Well, it's not really bonus points, but I'm sure you can.
That's with M-I-K-K-O.
You would have gotten either one. Okay. We go now to Don. Things are tightening up a little bit. Might get a little tougher. You ready?
Yep.
Mikhail Granlund. Spell Granlund.
G-R-A-N-L-U-N-D.
Very nice. All right. We now go to Jeremy. Jeremy.
Yes.
Spell Mikhail from Mikhail Granlund.
Oh, I'm surprised I got the first two.
You did good.
M-I-K-Y-L-E.
Jeremy, it's been fun playing. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. That was fun. All right. Now we go to Jake. Jake, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to give you... This is a gimme. Sort of. Justin Fontaine.
Justin Fontaine. Can I spell Justin?
Sure you can, but then you got to spell Fontaine after that. You're a sly one.
F-O-N-T-A-I-N-E.
Good Fontaine. Job. All right, we got Jake and Don are our two contestants left, right? All right, now I have to pick two names that are pretty tough, equally tough for you guys. All right, are you ready, Don?
Yep.
Nino Niederreiter.
Ooh. Can I go with Nino?
You can go with Nino to warm up. Go ahead.
N-I-N-O.
All right, very good. Now, how about Niederreiter? You know what? Okay, here's what we're going to do, Don. You spell the... the same. You spell the first half of his name right, and we'll advance you. You get the neater part in Niederreiter, and we'll advance you.
N-I-E-D-E-R.
All right, you want to try the rest, or you want to hold off here? Let's go to Jake. Jake? Jake,
hello.
You spelled the second half of Niederreiter. He spelled the first half, N-I-E-D-E-R. You spelled the writer part.
All right, so there's... Two R's.
Well, no. But yeah, go ahead. You talk this through your head. Go ahead.
E-I-D-E-R.
What did you say?
Can I spell the whole thing? N-E-I-D-E-R-R-E-I-T-E-R.
Damn, you're good.
Niederreiter.
That's very good. All right, let's go back to Don. Now.
All right.
All right, let's go. You ready, Don?
Yep.
All right, we're going to give you an easy one now because you guys need a little break here. Devin Dubnyk. Spell Dubnyk.
D-U-B-Y-N-Y-K.
Okay, spell it again now, because you did this to us earlier. How are you spelling it?
D-U-B-N-Y-K.
I think we give it to him. All right, now let's go to Jake. Jake, are you ready?
Yes.
Darcy Kemper, spell Kemper.
K-U-M-P-E-R.
Say it again.
That's an easy one. K-U-E-M-P-E-R.
You guys are unbelievable. Both of you spelled it wrong the first time, but... All right. Now, you know what? I think what we need to do is flip over to another team. Don, you ready?
Sure.
Why don't you spell for me Vladimir Tarasenko? Spell Tarasenko.
Can I spell it phonetically?
You can spell it any way you want.
T-E-R-E-S-E-N-K-O.
That's not even close, Don. But you know what? We're going to give Jake a shot. He may screw up his name, the one he's going to get. Okay, you ready for this?
Yep.
Jake?
Yep.
Ali Jokinen.
Jokinen.
Yep.
J-O-K.
Yeah.
A-N-I-N.
My God, they're tied. You're both are tied for lousy spelling so far. We have to go to a tiebreaker here. All right. You know what? How much time we have left? We have time to go one more. All right. We'll go one more round of spellings, and then we're going to have to take it to a tiebreaker. All right. You ready?
Yep.
Don, TJ Oshie. Spell Oshie. Oshie.
O-S-H-I-E.
All right. Go back to Jake. Jake, spell for us Patrick Berglund.
B. Berglund. B. E. R. G. L. Y. N.
Jake, I'm sorry. You did one hell of a job. You took us through like 67 rounds, you and Don, but Don is going to get those tickets.
Oh.
No, Jake, you did good. Don't feel bad now, Jake. You did good. We're going to have another contest tomorrow, and we probably won't do a spelling bee of these same things, but you have a shot at more of these. We're going to give out more, a four-pack of single game day passes to the Wizard World Comic-Con at the Minneapolis Convention Center tomorrow. That's May 1st and 3rd is when it's run, but we'll give them out more tomorrow. Jake, you did good. Be proud of yourself, Jake. Pat yourself on the back. Don got lucky, too. Don, let's go back to Don. Don? I got to be honest with you, I never thought you had a shot after you struggled in the first spelling. But from there, you came on strong. You did one heck of a job.
All right.
We're all proud of you. Now, we're gonna put you on. Well, let me ask you this question. Yes or no for Friday night? What's the Wild win or lose?
Wild win.
You're talking from the head or the heart?
Dubnyk bounces back. I think the Blues are going to score early. It's going to be 1-0 going into the second period. We're going to score two quick ones early in the second period, and it's going to end 2-1.
You sound like a psychic. Well, then again, I'm not arguing with you. You won the spelling bee. All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking part, Don. That was great. It was a lot of fun having you do that. You did good. All right. We are going to take a quick break. When we return, a little double shot, D-bag of the day, and a little threesome. We'll be right back. We're not going to go with D-bag today. We're going to go with dumbasses of the day.
I'm going to throw my hat into the ring right now for that.
Well, you're a perennial member of that.
Hall of Famer?
It will be a Hall of Famer someday. Couple of kids. Planning on getting married. Had a little rough. Had a spat. Got a little physical. Cops came. Both arrested. Phoenix Mercury star Brittany Griner and her fiancé, fellow WNBA player Glory Johnson, arrested on suspicion of assault and disorderly conduct after an argument in the home they purchased 2 days earlier. Things got a little physical. They're both 24, both arrested on those counts of assault by recklessly causing physical injury and disorderly conduct for fighting, booked in a Maricopa County jail. The agents for both for the players did not immediately respond to the Associated Press. Griner told police she and Johnson had been arguing every day, and had got into each other's faces Wednesday in the home they had bought 2 days earlier after Johnson said Griner disrespected her, according to a police report. That's not good for these two kids. They just bought the house, and now they're fighting to the point that they both get arrested. Johnson told police Griner had gotten too close, so she pushed her back to get some separation and began talking to her sister, a woman named Judy Johnson, when she was pushed in the back of the head by Griner. Glory Johnson turned around, and the physical altercation began with both fighting on the floor for 4 to 6 minutes. The entire episode lasted. You know how long that is to be grappling?
Usually you'd hear a bell and they'd go to their corners for 60 seconds before they go back at it.
Well, Griner had a laceration on her right wrist and a tooth mark on the middle finger of her right hand. It's a good thing it was the ring finger. It wasn't that. And it ended up in Johnson's... Okay, I got to read that again. laceration right wrist, and a tooth mark on the middle ringer of her right hand, middle finger of her right hand, after it ended up in Johnson's mouth, according to the police report. Johnson, who placed with the Tulsa Shock, had a cut on her lip, and Julio Trejo, a friend of Griner's, had a cut on his neck after trying to break up the fight. All three declined medical attention. Griner also said she broke a dog bowl after throwing it against the wall during the argument. Griner told police the fight was caused by weeks of stress, including buying a house, planning a wedding, and their relationship. The pair announced their engagement late last summer and expected to get married next month. They may want to rethink that.
It's a hell of a way to last some steam.
But, and you know what? And isn't Brittany like 6'5 or 6'8?
She's 6'8.
And how tall is Glory Johnson? She's not small. I think she's a forward, isn't she?
I don't know.
See if you can find... Okay, you don't have any answers for me. All right.
What do you mean? I just gave you the 6'8 thing.
All right, let's have a race, see if we can get to it faster. 6'3. Sam, who had it first?
Almost I did.
I think I had it. All right, we'll call it a tie.
I like to compete.
Anyway, yeah, 1'6'8, 1'6'3. But 4 to 6 minutes grappling on the floor? That is one heck of a fight. That's a... But again, ladies, talk it out.
I'm a little tired after... 10 seconds of fighting.
10 seconds of fighting?
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm tired walking from here to the kitchen.
A lot of times I don't even try.
Holy cow. Anyway, they are our... Hey, it's a dumbass thing to do. I mean, just talk it out. My goodness. We'll get physical like that. But they are our co-D-asses of the day. Dumbasses of the day. We have a little threesome, too, don't we?
Yeah.
And actually, there was a threesome there because Julio Trejo tried breaking it up, and he got hurt. I'll tell you what, if these two, we're talking world-class athletes, you are taking your life into your hands trying to break, whether it's two men or two women that are world-class athletes, 6'8 and 6'3, I don't know how big Julio was, but you're taking your life into your hands trying to break those two apart when they're, you know, passionate.
Yeah.
Angry passionate. It's a different kind of passionate. All right, what's the first threesome question?
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I have a few questions for you. Number one, at 40 years old, can Joe Nathan recover from another Tommy John surgery?
I am so glad you asked. Joe Nathan, no. First of all, he is not going to recover. This is the end of his career. He is talking about wanting to try to come back from Tommy John surgery. If you'll recall, when he was with the Twins and had or had required Tommy John surgery, he was in such denial that the Twins actually let him have a workout to see. He wanted to rehab without surgery. They actually let him try throwing a baseball, and he realized that his arm was going to come flying off if he did that. He's in denial now about his career being over. Nobody has Tommy John surgery at 40 and makes a comeback. And not only that, nobody takes the chance on him. Because by the time he gets back, you're talking about being 42, because he's not going to be ready next year.
He's going to get a minor league chance at best. Nobody's going to throw him right onto their big league roster.
St. Paul Saints! We'll have to talk to Tom Whaley on Monday, see if maybe they'll sign him.
As long as he does the...
he's a nice guy. You know what I always thought of? You know what he looked like? He always... And if you took a picture of the guy who played Shaggy in the movie and Nathan, you know what I mean? From
Matthew Lillard?
Matthew Lillard. They were dead ringers for each other.
I can
he looked
see
just
that.
Like Shaggy, or the guy who played Matthew Lillard. Actually, Lillard and Heber, they could have been separated at birth. There's no doubt about it. But Nathan, I like the guy. He's a nice guy, but he's still in that denial phase. I mean, you're 40. Your career is over. If you want to stay in baseball, see if you can become a pitching coach.
Yeah.
So, he's not going to come back from this. Nobody's going to want him back at that age. Let's sign Nathan. We'll have him for a month.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. All right, what else you got?
Number two.
Yeah.
Will Greg Jennings have a better season with the Dolphins than he ever had with the Vikings?
That's an interesting question. I never thought, I mean, they never really, was it, do you think it was more that they didn't use him or he just couldn't get open, they couldn't get the ball to him?
I think there's a combination of things.
That's what I think.
So many different quarterbacks trying to get him the ball. When Matt Cassel was in, he usually threw to Jennings. When Ponder was in, he was always throwing to Jerome Simpson. So it's just, he was supposed to be a safety blanket for whoever our quarterback was, and it didn't really pan out that way.
But Jennings also is a guy, I mean, they did not get him in his prime.
No.
But I also think he was a player who benefited greatly by great quarterbacking in Green Bay. That he
yes.
was a lot better. I mean, his numbers were a lot better because of who he was with. It's not that he was not the elite wide receiver. He just had great quarterbacking, and I think that's why his
numbers. Green Bay has a way of doing that.
Yeah, they absolutely do. You know, if you ever can get, well, I mean, actually, if you ever can get, they had it, you know, when you had Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and then Steve Young and Jerry Rice, that was great quarterbacking in both cases and a great, great receiver. Imagine if Larry Fitzgerald Jr. had great quarterbacking throughout his career, the numbers he could have put up.
It'd be fantastic.
It'd be phenomenal. It'd be off the charts.
Not even a great quarterback, just somebody with a strong arm that'll throw the ball up. Because you've seen him go in double coverage and just jump up and pick the ball right out of the air.
Well, when he had Kurt Warner that one year, he had a pretty darn good year. He has had good years all along, no matter who it was. But and it's unfortunate that Palmer was hurt all last year, too, because he was starting to get not phased out of the offense, but becoming diminished. And that's a mistake, because this guy is still a winner.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get his dad on again before the draft, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., who joined us. Well, excuse me, Larry Fitzgerald. He doesn't like to be called senior, because he is the Larry Fitzgerald. So we'll have him on. He's a good guy.
Like the Ohio State.
Like the Ohio State. And by the way, thank you for bringing that up. Why do the shirts never say TOSU? They're the Ohio State, but the shirts always say OSU. You're TOSU.
Well, I'll start running around with a Sharpie, and every time I see one of those shirts, I'll just run up there and
Put a T there.
It'd
be easy.
Them up.
It's almost like doing the Z for Zorro. The T's easy. All right. Was that two or one question? Two.
We got one left.
Let me hear it.
And finally, after seeing the way the Blues recovered from their Monday night loss, is there any possibility that the series does not go to a Game 7?
I'll tell you what. You know who has the Blues right now? The Wild and their fans. They're singing the blues. Thank you very much. Okay, here is my prediction. The winner of Game 5 will win in 6. They'll go back-to-back. And you could sort for yourself who you think that's going to be.
I have a guess.
Does it start with an ST or an MI?
It starts with an ST if you're spelling it way wrong.
Okay. So you think it'll be the Wild going back-to-back?
Why not?
Why not? But I do think that's what's going to happen. It'll still go 6, and the team that wins will win both. And I'll stand by that depending on who wins tomorrow night, and I won't be wrong until Sunday. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back with our guy, Rick Harrow, host of Beyond the Metals on Wednesday nights, Bloomberg's Portfolio, tonight at 8:30, harrowsports.com, H-O-R-R-O-W. Be right back with Rick. Let's get right to our guest. We've been waiting long enough. Rick Harrow, host of Beyond the Metals. You can find that on Wednesday nights, Bloomberg's Portfolio, tonight at 8:30, and at harrowsports.com, H-O-R-R-O-W, sports.com. Rick, has your schedule slowed down any? Because you were traveling like crazy the last few weeks with the Masters and the NCAA and, you know, baseball. Have you quieted down?
No, but the good thing is I use this to get out of the cold for 10 minutes. I'm at National Park, and it's 48 degrees. They say it's 55. I don't know where they found the other 7 degrees. And, you know, you guys are used to it because you're in the tundra. But, I think that couldn't be any baseball played in non-dome stadiums until July.
I'm in favor of that. I think that's a great idea. But then
it's fun baseball. Scherzer's on the mound. It's 1-0 early, but you have the buzz that's muffled by winter coats and you know, the fact that it's a getaway day, a lot of afternoon baseball today. So I've had meetings in Washington and back in New York for the Rangers game tomorrow night. So it'll be an interesting thing. I'll slow down next week.
How many days a week are you at an event or on your way to an event? I mean, it seems like it's every week you're somewhere or going somewhere.
Yeah, no, most of my business meetings are scheduled around events, so probably 2 or 3 events a week. And by the way, if the people at the IRS are listening, I'm working at every event.
That's right. Every day, 7 days a week, he's at something.
Every event, every day.
Now, you sent a little email out. You mentioned the 119th running of the Boston Marathon. I'm guessing you were in Boston on Monday?
Yeah, that was an amazing event. And at the Red Sox weekend with Larry Lucchino and folks from the Red Sox, they know real well. They didn't play very well against the Orioles. But listen, the bottom line is 11 o'clock start for the Red Sox, $150 million of economic impact. Patriots Day is a holiday in Massachusetts and all over New England. And it's an incredible event, even 2 years after the bombing. And even though no American won this year, an Ethiopian and a Kenyan won respectively, but the John Hancock sponsorship, the 30,000 runners and 6,000 or 7,000 of them from international destinations. So it really is a truly international city, getting more international. And, of course, the real key that we're covering on Beyond the Meadows is that if you put on a good event in Boston, it's just another feather in your cap for the 2024 Olympic selection. And that's one of the issues that they're really worried about and want to make sure they get.
Now, I'm guessing, is that something you'll be touching on, or have you touched on it in Beyond the Meadows?
We're doing that. And John Fish, who's head of the Boston Committee, Mayor Marty Walsh, talked about what the details are and how you deal with it. Scott Blackman, the head of the USOC, and I'm going over to Lausanne, Switzerland in May to interview Thomas Bach, who is the president of the International Olympic Committee. I've got a lot of questions to ask him, most certainly.
Now, I hope the IRS is listening, because it is all work with you.
It's all work.
It's not playtime.
Switzerland's okay, but if you go to Switzerland, you go for more than 3 days. I guarantee you that. Geneva, I'll bring chocolate back for everybody, but that's about the only non-work thing that I'll do. And by the way, for anybody, it's duty-free. So whatever the tax laws are, I'll deal with them too.
Well, and also, Rick, this jet lag, you have to have time to recover. It's not fair if you don't. You won't be sharp.
And chocolate helps you eat. Yeah. Chocolate helps you recover. And chocolate helps you gain weight. I feed you.
I know that.
Your body, and I bet you eat a lot of chocolate.
I'm a chocolate fiend. Now, will you, before you make those trips, will you be in Chicago next week for the NFL draft?
No, you know what? Because I'm covering it for Bloomberg and for CNBC's folks, and I'll be listening very carefully to the economics of it. I was there last week and pre-taped some stories. First time in 51 years, obviously, and the NFL is looking at figuring out how to structure a deal where they rotate this and make it a carrot like the baseball all-star game, like basketball and hockey's all-star games, and like the Super Bowl. And I think they've hit on something here, because everybody in Chicago is really excited about the draft, even if they're not excited about the Bears.
Well, do you think, because there's a number of players who aren't showing up, in no way is it being blamed on not being in New York, right? Chicago's a great city, too, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think the showing up has anything to do with that. I do think the legitimate comments from Jameis Winston, et cetera, about wanting to be with the family, you could just as easily be with the family in Chicago, but there's this feeling that you really don't want to travel unless you're guaranteed the glory. I know he will be, but he's got his own issue, and there are a lot of people who aren't showing up. They may address that from time to time. They're certainly not going to require kids to go to the draft.
Yeah.
But I don't think it detracts in any way from how great Chicago is going to be as a host city.
Now, the other thing that was back in the news is the concussion settlement with the NFL and players. And the story I saw said it could be $1 billion over the next 65 years. I mean, it's a long period, but will that have any, with the NFL as strong as it is and getting stronger, will it, if you're talking 65 years, will it even make a ripple in the pond?
Well, it's a cap on hemorrhaging uncertainty. So even if it does make a ripple, it's an important ripple for everybody, because they can count on these dollars. As we said, the NFL is a $15-20 billion annual enterprise, projected to be $25 billion by the end of this labor agreement. And so whatever the settlement is, you have to put it in perspective that it's not going to be that big a number.
Nope.
Yet, when you think about it, this is one of those things that's very, very important to all of the owners, primarily because you want to make sure you take some of the uncertainty out of the equation.
Yep. And the other thing I want to ask you about is tonight, Bloomberg's portfolio at 8:30 locally. Who do you have on?
Well, we have, John Tisch and Marty Walsh. We deal with Beyond the Meadows, but also the piece of the Boston Strong effort.
Okay.
What that meant to the marathon, also moving forward, too. So it's really good.
Well, I thought you were talking about just Beyond the Meadows. But that's great, though, because it is very topical. It's a great topic. As you always are. Rick Haro, it's great to talk to you again, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Host of Beyond the Meadows on Wednesday night's Bloomberg's Portfolio, tonight at 8:30, harosports.com. HORROW. Thanks a lot.
Okay, see you next week.
Okay, Rick, thank you. Horosports.com. We're going to wrap things up. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson will be next. Want to mention to people, on Sunday, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, a couple hours before the game, we will be giving away two sets of suite tickets.
Surely you can't be serious.
I'm serious. Sets of suite tickets to the game here Sunday, Game 6. You be there at Tom Reed's, you could win some of those tickets to the suite. Then you can take your other ones and, well, do whatever you want with them. But Hellboy and I will be back tomorrow. Looking forward to talking to you. We'll see you then.
Any sip and any sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup? Or disappear into the potter's ground?